ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 12. Chapter 12 is entitled Birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And today we are reading verse 10. Astra Teja Swagadaya Niharam Iva Gopati Vidhamantam Sannikarshe Paryekshataka iti asau Astra Teja Swagadaya Niharam Iva Gopati Vidhamantam Sannikarshe Paryekshataka iti asau Astra Teja Swagadaya Niharam Iva Gopati Vidhamantam Sannikarshe Paryekshataka iti asau Astra Teja. Radiation of the Brahmastra. Swagadaya. By means of his own club. Niharam. Drops of dew. Eva. Like. Gopati. The sun. Vidhamantam. The act of vanquishing. The act of vanishing. Sorry. Sannikarshe. Nearby. Pariyekshata. Observing. Ka. Who. Iti asau. This body. Translation. The Lord was thus engaged in vanquishing the radiation of the Brahmastra, just as the sun evaporates a drop of dew. He was observed by the child, who thought about who he was. Since there's no purport, we'll read text 11 as well. Text 11 translation. While thus being observed by the child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of everyone, and the Protector of the righteous, who stretches in all directions and who is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. Child Parikshit was not observing a living being who is limited by time and space. There is a gulf of difference between the Lord and the individual living being. The Lord is mentioned herein as the supreme living being, unlimited by time and space. Every living being is limited by time and space. Even though a living being is qualitatively one with the Lord, quantitatively there is a great difference between the Supreme Soul and the common individual soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, both the living beings and the Supreme Being are said to be all-pervading. Yena sarvam idam tatam. Yet, there is a difference between these two kinds of all-pervasiveness. A common living being or soul can be all-pervading within his own limited body. But the supreme living being is all-pervading in all space and all time. A common living being cannot extend its influence over another common living being by its all-pervasiveness. But the supreme super soul, the personality of Godhead, is unlimitedly able to exert his influence over all places and all times and over all living beings. And because he is all-pervasive, unlimited by time and space, he can appear within the womb of the mother of child Parikshit. He is mentioned herein as the protector of the righteous. Anyone who is a surrendered soul unto the Supreme is righteous, and he is specifically protected by the Lord in all circumstances. The Lord is the indirect protector of the unrighteous also, for he rectifies their sins through his external potency. The Lord is mentioned here as one who is dressed in the 10 directions. This means dressed with garments on 10 sides, up and down. He is present everywhere and can appear and disappear at his own will from everywhere and anywhere. His disappearance from the child, from the sight of the child Parikshit, does not mean that he appeared on the spot from any other place. He was present there. And even after his disappearance, he was there, although invisible to the eyes of the child. This material covering of the effulgent firmament is also something like a womb of the mother nature. And we are all put into the womb by the Lord, the Father of all living beings. He is present everywhere, even in the material womb of Mother Durga, and those who are deserving can see the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Sva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we see that in this chapter the birth of Parikshit Maharaj is being described. Now birth of Parikshit Maharaj is an extremely inspiring pastime and it is quite unique because even before being born Parikshit Maharaj had darshan of the Lord in the womb. And we see here he is observing the Lord, and not only did he have just darshan of the passive Lord, like sometimes the Lord gives darshan in his four-handed form as Paramatma or as Narayan. He did not have passive darshan of the Lord. He had darshan of the Lord in the Lord's most amazing feature. And that feature is the Lord as Bhakta Vatsala, or the Lord as the protector of the devotees. So we saw in this translation in verse 10 that the Lord was personally engaged in trying to, in warding off the effects of the heat of the Brahmastra by swinging his own club around. So he, Parikshit Maharaj saw this darshan of the Lord, that how the Lord completely, forgets his godhood and comes down just to protect his devotee and goes anywhere, enters anywhere, just to protect this devotee child. And he's swinging his club around so that this devotee will not be vanquished in the womb of the of his mother. So we saw in the in 8th chapter it was described when Queen Kunti's Maharani's prayers are there. In that chapter it was described that Uttara saw that there is a Brahmastra, there is a shining effulgence like a glaring radiation which is coming towards her, and it was not directed at her. She could see that it was directed at her womb, and she realized that this Brahmastra or this Astra has been released to kill the child in the womb. So like any mother, she was extremely anxious to protect her child, and therefore she rushed to the Lord to seek protection of the Lord. And there she says that, my Lord, it's okay if the glaring heat of this Brahmastra burns me, if that has to be done, but let it protect, please protect the child in the womb. And because that child was the last living heir to the Pandava dynasty, everybody else had been killed. Draupadi's 5 sons had been killed by Ashwatthama just some time ago. So she was very eager that this last living apparent heir for the Pandava dynasty be alive. And therefore she rushes to the Lord for protection. So we see, naturally we see in this material world also, that mothers and fathers are very protective of their children. And that quality is inherently there in parents, that they protect their child. If there is any danger there, then the parents go all out of their way to protect their child. And not only in human species is this seen, but we see this in lower species of life as well. Now, if you in India especially, we have so many stray dogs. So if you see a stray dog is normal, it's not ferocious, it's very friendly, it wags its tail when you're moving around in the street. But as soon as that dog has given birth to babies, to little puppy dogs, that dog's nature completely changes. The dog becomes extremely protective of the babies, and because of that, it becomes a bit ferocious. And it tries to attack anyone who he sees as a threat, or who she sees as a threat to the babies. And I had this personal experience. When I was young, I was just passing by in the street and I didn't even know any dog has given birth to its puppy somewhere in the bush. And it was a bit dark, it was night time. And suddenly this dog came barking and it bit me. So I was shocked what happened. I didn't even provoke the dog, nothing. I didn't throw any stones or anything. But the dog suddenly came and bit me. And then I realized that it was howling and I saw in the corner that it had puppies. And then I realized that maybe the dog saw that I was a threat for the puppies and that's why it bit me. So the dog did its work, but then I had to take 14 injections after that, because at that time we didn't have those 3 injections thing to prevent rabies from coming. And if we go, here in Melbourne also I've seen, if we go around Albert Park Lake, if you have ever been to Albert Park Lake, especially if you go during this time in spring, lots of the black swans, there are black swans in Albert Park Lake and they have given birth to baby swans. And they are very cute, nice little grey baby swans they have given birth to. But even if you are walking by with no intention of going near those baby swans, the black swans immediately come to attack you. They raise themselves, they make their body bigger and they try to flap out their wings and they try to come to attack you, trying to ward you, send you away from there. So we see this protective nature is so much there in all species of life. Of course in Kali Yuga, we see that sometimes the human species don't protect their children very well. We see the dogs and the swans, everyone protecting their children, but we have seen so much of child abuse happening in Kali Yuga by their own parents. So, but we are talking about Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, this inherent quality is there in every species of life, even in the human species, to protect the child. Now, where is this quality of protection coming from? This quality is coming in human beings and in all species because it is there in the Lord. The Lord is the supreme protector. The Lord is the supreme father of all living beings. And therefore that quality has come into all the species or all the jivas of this material world as well. So the Lord is called as Bhagavan. Now if you divide this word Bhagavan, you can divide it into 3 words. Bha, Ga and Van. So the root word Bha actually means sustainer or maintainer or protector. That is the meaning of the root word Bha. Then the root word Ga means creator or pusher, who makes things happen. That is called as Ga. And the root word Va means indwelling, the indwelling person. And this, from this root word Va comes the word Vasati. So Vasati we know means someone who stays somewhere or someone who dwells somewhere. So this root word Bha, which means the protector or the sustainer, it is also the source of the word Bharta. So in Sanskrit the word Bharta is there, which means that someone who protects or someone who provides for all living beings. And that has come from this root word Bha, and thus this quality is there in the Lord. And because it's there in the Lord, it is coming to all living beings in the material world. And just as the Lord protects his dependents, just as we are seeing here in this pastime, how the Lord is engaged in personally protecting child Parikshit from the glaring effulgence of the Brahmastra, swinging his own club in the womb. Similarly, this quality has come because it is there in the Lord, and because it is there in the Lord, it has come in all living sphere beings. However, the jiva doesn't have much capacity to protect. Parents think, we think we are protecting our child. We think that, we have to look after our child. We are responsible for the sustenance of the child. Of course, as parents, we have to do the duty. There is the verse in Bhagavatam, Guru na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Janani na sasyat. So Pita and Janani both are mentioned. One should not become a father, one should not become a mother if they cannot deliver their dependence. So of course we have to do our duty, but no living entity who are conditioned and who are limited can give complete protection to any other living entity. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in the purport to the pastime of Bharat Maharaj that nobody can protect the body of another living being. And we know the famous verse, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. So if the Lord has decided to kill someone, how much, whatever efforts you put, you will not be able to protect that person. And if the Lord has decided to protect someone, we see here, he has decided to protect Parikshit Maharaj. So even though the world's deadliest weapon, which is Brahmastra, is coming towards Parikshit Maharaj, and it is so one-pointed that it doesn't destroy anything else. It is just coming directly at the womb. So all the intensity was meant just for Parikshit Maharaj. But still, because the Lord had decided to protect, it couldn't do any harm to Parikshit Maharaj. But in case of Bharat Maharaj's pastime, where Prabhupada mentions this, that no one can give complete protection to another's body, We see that in the life of Bharat Maharaj. He was such an elevated devotee of the Lord. He was so pure. He lived his entire life serving the Lord. His consciousness was just that, how to serve the Lord. He was completely dependent on the Lord, although he was such a big king. And at the end of the life, he did what usually saintly kings do. He retired, he handed over his kingdom to his sons, and then he went into the forest to pursue or to intensify his devotional service. And he was engaged, he was doing intense devotional service. But somehow or the other, he saw that a mother deer died just at the time of giving birth to the baby deer because of a fear of some lion attacking her or something. And the baby deer was helpless. It came in the world and its mother was dead. So Bharat Maharaj thought that now it is his duty to give protection to this baby deer. And in trying to protect that baby deer, Bharat Maharaj started neglecting his own spiritual duties and his own spiritual responsibilities. He started neglecting his sadhana. So ultimately what happened? He felt he had given protection to the baby deer, but he could not protect his devotional life. And then he himself had to take birth again as a deer. But obviously, you know, the Lord says, Neha Bikrama Nasosti, like there is no diminution or there is no loss in this endeavor. So Bharat Maharaj had complete remembrance of his past life. And then he regretted that, oh, I shouldn't have done like that. You know, I became attached, overly attached to the deer. It was a bodily attachment to the deer. The affection was not based on something else. It was just based on bodily attachment. And therefore now see how my pitiable my condition is. And have fallen down. I have fallen down into this deer species of life. So of course the Lord protected him then, and then he got the next birth as Jad Bharat, and he perfected his life and he went back to Godhead. But we see that even though despite his best efforts, he tried to protect the deer, but he could not protect himself. So no jiva can completely protect another living entity. It is only the Lord who has that capacity to completely protect other living entities and to provide ultimate protection also to other living entities. And we see this instance in Arjuna's life also. Now we know that kings or leaders of society are responsible for the citizens, or are their a Raja is always responsible for the Praja. So a king has to ensure that all his citizens are nicely looked after. He has to ensure that there is sufficient grains for his citizens to eat. There is no poverty. There is abundant supply of water. There is abundant supply of job opportunities, like employment. Everybody is nicely engaged in their varna and ashrama. So it is the king's duty to ensure all that. And it is the king's duty also to see that there is no akala mrityu in his kingdom. So if a king is righteous and he is doing his duties well, then there will be no akala mrityu. This is what was mentioned during Vedic times. This was the norm. So akala mrityu means there will be no untimely death. That means a father will never have to see the death of his son in his lifetime. So there will be no untimely death. But in the kingdom of Ugrasena, this had happened. Like there was a Brahmana whose wife, whenever she was giving birth, the child would disappear, the child would die. So there were 9 children the wife gave birth to, but none of the children could survive. And the Brahmana was extremely distressed. So after the birth of every child, the Brahmana used to go to the king in King Ugrasena's court, and he used to curse the king. He used to say that this king is so greedy and duplicitous that my child is having untimely death. There is akala mrityu in this king's kingdom. That means this king is greedy and duplicitous. So every time he used to curse like that. And the 9th time it happened, he again came to curse the king. And that time Arjuna happened to be there. So then Arjuna heard these harsh words and he said, don't speak such harsh words towards King Ugrasena. I know he is a religious king. This time I promise you that I will protect your infant. So when your wife is about to deliver, you please call me and I will come and personally protect. I will ensure that nobody takes your child away or nobody does any harm to your infant. And then when the wife was about to deliver, Arjuna actually went there to the Brahmana's house. And he set up a protective sheath. He made like a protective sheath of arrows. And he stood personally guarding also. But as soon as the infant was born, the infant just disappeared. And Arjuna was extremely heartbroken. He was so distressed because he had told the Brahmana that I assure you I will give protection to your child. And if I'm not able to protect the child, I will jump in fire and I will give up my life. But Arjuna could not protect the child. The child disappeared. And the Brahmana again started wailing that, you know, see what has happened. You were standing here, but still my child has gone. And Arjuna went in every direction. He went to Yamraj's abode, it is mentioned. He went in all the three worlds, but he could not locate the infant anywhere. And then he said that, now I have failed in my duty. Now I will just jump in the fire and give up my life. So we see Arjuna could not protect that child. He had all good intentions and he was so powerful also. Arjuna was one of the most powerful warriors present on the earth at that time. But still he could not protect the child. So he was about to give up his life and then the Lord had to come. Because Lord is the protector of his surrendered devotees and he did not want Arjuna to give up his life like that. So then the Lord came and stopped him. And he said, no, 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 don't give up your life. I will take you to where that those infants are. And then it was obviously a pastime by Mahavishnu, because Mahavishnu wanted to have darshan of Lord Krishna. In the feature of Lord Krishna, Mahavishnu wanted to have darshan. So actually then Arjuna and Krishna go on a chariot. And he said that we have to go through the Viraja river and we'll have to there approach Mahavishnu, who has all these infants with him. And it was so dark because they were crossing all the layerings of the material universe. We know the material universe is covered by all the layerings, mind, intelligence, false ego and the Panchabhuta Mahatattva. So they had to cross all these layerings and reach Viraja river. So Krishna actually sent, it was very dark, so he sent his Sudarshan Chakra ahead so that with the glow of the Sudarshan Chakra they can find their way. And in this way they went to where Mahavishnu was lying on the causal ocean or the Viraja river. And then Mahavishnu said that I had just done this because I can have darshan of you, Krishna, in your original form, and I can have darshan of your surrendered devotee, Arjuna. And then he returned all the infants to the Brahmana. But the point is that you know, Arjuna could not protect. So there is no living entity who can give complete protection to another living entity. This department is only with the Lord. Only he can give this ultimate protection to another living entity. And this protection or this protective feature of the Lord, which is also called as Poshanam, is actually one of the 10 items of the Bhagavatam. Like it is mentioned Sarga, Visarga, Isha, Anukatha. There are 10 different items of Srimad Bhagavatam, out of which Poshanam is one of the items, or protection by the Lord is one of the items of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Poshanam feature, when it is talked about the Lord, it does not mean that the Lord is protective to his non-devotees. This feature of Poshanam is specifically being talked about the Lord's quality of protecting his devotees, his surrendered devotees. So the Lord is actually equal to everyone. The Lord is actually providing for everyone, whether devotees or non-devotees. He is providing for everyone and he is protecting everyone. We read in the purport also, Prabhupada had written, that the Lord is protecting everyone, even the non-devotees, by providing facilities for them and also by the chastisement, like making them suffer for their sins through the agency of Maya. But when it comes to his devotees, the Lord actually personally protects his devotees. He personally interferes in the life of the devotee. So we see in the example of the king also. Now the king, as we said, he is responsible for providing for the praja. He is responsible for ensuring that everybody has enough to eat. And the king engages in charity. He gives so many cows in charity. Whenever any brahmana comes, he gives so profusely. So the king engages in charity so that all his citizens are looked after. But how will the king deal with his own prince or princess, with his own child? That treatment will be totally different than what he is giving to the citizens. So he will provide for the material facilities also of his children, but the king also gives emotional facility to his children. He gives them so much love and affection. So that is the difference. There is a special treatment which the king gives to his children. And we see that in the government also. The government provides for everyone. Even in the jail, the government provides to the citizens, to the criminals who have gone to the jail. He provides them with food, clothing, shelter. Everything is provided for those criminals inside the jail. But that prime minister or the leader of that country will be specially protective of his children. So there is always this difference that, you know, they will protect everyone, but there is a special treatment which is there for their children. So in the same way, the Lord also protects everyone, but he is personally protecting his devotees, his surrendered devotees. And we see that in the example of Arjuna. Now, you know, he personally protects devotees and protects them depending on different situations the devotee is in. So, for example, Arjuna. Arjuna was the Lord's friend, so the Lord decided to become his chariot driver. And even in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, Arjuna used to say when the Lord showed his universal feature, that I used to take you so casually, I used to just address you as Sakha and all that. I never realized your greatness. So the Lord has such an intimate relationship with Arjuna that he decided to become his chariot driver. We see with Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj was such a surrendered devotee of the Lord that the Lord decided to become his peace messenger. We see with Draupadi also, that when she was in distress, the Lord came to protect him in the form of the sari. He became that unlimited sari which could not be taken off Draupadi's body. So he protected Draupadi's chastity. And even at pure devotees like Radharani, the Lord is protecting them always. Now just 2 days ago, because it was Radhashtami, I was reading the book by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, The Glories of Srimati Radharani. And in that there is a very nice pastime given about how even with pure devotees, the Lord gives them protection from any situation. So there, Radharani was enjoying with Krishna in one of the kunjas on the banks of the Yamuna. All the sakhis had created a nice kunja and Radharani was enjoying. And Radharani's sister-in-law, Kutila, she was always out to prove that Radharani is unchaste and she has some affair with Krishna. So she came to this kunja and she peeped in. And she saw that Radharani was actually, you know, the sakhis had created a beautiful flower bed and Radha and Krishna were sitting on that flower bed and they were enjoying pastimes and all the sakhis were engaged in worshipping this divine couple. They were fanning them, they were doing aarti to them and all that. So Kutila saw this and she said that today there is a very nice chance for me to prove to my brother Abhimanyu that your wife is having some affair with Krishna. So immediately she ran to where Abhimanyu was herding his cows. And she said that, see, I was telling you always that how Radharani has an affair with Krishna. Today I have factual proof. You come with me and I'll show you. So she brought Abhimanyu to the scene. She brought him to the kunja and she said, now I will show you where to peep from, where you can see Radharani engaged with Krishna. But always whenever these pastimes are happening, there will be a guard. So Vrinda Devi was guarding the kunja. And she saw Abhimanyu and Kutila coming and she realized why Kutila is bringing Abhimanyu. So immediately she went inside and she told Radharani and Krishna that Abhimanyu, Radharani's husband, is coming to check on Radharani, what she is doing. So then Radharani was so much distressed. She became so scared. She fell down at Lord Krishna's feet and she said, now you have to protect me. Otherwise my husband Abhimanyu is going to definitely kill me. I will not be able to go home and my mother-in-law Jatila will also chastise me. Please protect me. Please protect me. Radharani fell at Lord Krishna's feet and Lord Krishna immediately assured her. He said that you don't worry, I will take the form of Goddess Kali. Because your husband is a very great devotee of Goddess Kali, so I will immediately take the form of Goddess Kali and then you know you show that you are worshipping Goddess Kali for Abhimanyu's long life. So immediately as soon as Abhimanyu was about to come, Krishna changed him because Krishna is the Lord. So he changed himself into the form of Goddess Kali with a tongue hanging out and with those skulls around his neck, everything perfectly made himself. And Radharani immediately fell down at Krishna's feet and she started worshipping as if, you know, she has come to worship Goddess Kali in that kunja. So she was engaged like this. And then Abhimanyu came and saw. And Abhimanyu said, he was so angry with Kutila. He said that, why you always keep on blaming my chaste wife? See how nicely she is worshipping Kali and Goddess Kali. I know why she is worshipping Goddess Kali. So that, you know, I get a long life and for my protection, for her husband's protection, she is worshipping Kali. So next time you come and tell me any word against Radharani, I'm going to hit you, not her. So this is the way we see even to surrendered devotees, like pure devotees like Radharani, the Lord is engaged in protecting them. And this increases the rasa of the whole pastime, that how the Lord, you know, does so many different things to protect his devotees. And the Lord has very personal ways. Now we know in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye Jano Paryupasate Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. So we know the pastime of Arjunacharya. Now Arjunacharya was a great devotee of the Lord. And his whole life, he was a great Brahmana. His whole life, he was so attached to the Bhagavad Gita. So his entire day he used to spend in just reading the Bhagavad Gita, understanding the verses, writing something, writing his own commentary. He was so much absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, day in and day out. So he did not even bother much about coming and, you know, going out begging or going out for Madhukari and collecting for his wife. He did not even do much. But still his wife was also very peaceful and surrendered and chaste wife for her husband. So she never used to complain. She herself was a great devotee. So whatever little there was, they could gather, she used to manage in that. And once Arjunacharya was sitting, when he was absorbed in reading the Bhagavad Gita, he read this verse, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. And the meaning of the verse is that the Lord is assuring that I personally carry what my devotee lacks and I preserve what they have. And the word personally is used over there. So Arjunacharya started thinking that, I know the Lord protects everyone and the Lord provides for everyone. But why this word personally is there? Because the Lord can have so many agencies. He has Maya, he has his representatives. There are so many means by which the Lord can protect or the Lord can preserve. So why this word personally is there? And Arjunacharya struck off that word personally. And then he went to take his bath in the river. And you know, Krishna is, we say Bhagavad Gita is actually the words of Lord Krishna. So it is the Lord personified. So the Lord actually felt that he saw that Arjunacharya had this doubt in his mind about how I personally come to protect my devotees. And he wanted to remove this doubt from his pure devotee's mind. So immediately Krishna and Balram, they came as little cowherd boys. And they came with two baskets, like in India sometimes, on a pole they carry two baskets on the shoulder. So they brought baskets like that, and the baskets were full of fruits, vegetables, milk, yogurt, grains. They brought all these supplies and they came to the house and they knocked. And Arjunacharya's wife opened the door because Arjunacharya had gone to take bath in the river. And she said, they were so beautiful to look at. So she said, who are y'all? And those boys said that we are your husband's disciples. And the wife said that I did not know my husband had any disciples. I never knew he was a guru. So they said, no, he's our guru. And we have brought all these supplies for you. All these grains and all that we have brought for you. So then the wife said that please come in. Let me cook something and give y'all also. Y'all must be tired carrying all these things. So they said, no, we want to go away fast. Because if your husband comes, he may beat us further. And the wife was shocked. She said, my husband, he would never do such a thing. Why y'all are so scared? He's such a gentle soul. So the two boys, Krishna and Balram, said, no, he beats us. Look at our backs. And they both showed their backs and there were red streaks on the backs of Krishna and Balram. So then the wife was so upset. She couldn't believe that her husband could do such a thing as beating such beautiful boys. So she called them inside and she applied Chandan paste on their wounds. And then the boys ran away. And when Arjunacharya came back, she told them that, these two disciples of yours had come. They brought so much supplies because she had cooked a nice feast. And Arjunacharya was wondering, where did the things come from? Today I did not even go out on Madhukari. I was so absorbed in the Gita. So she said, no, two disciples of yours came and gave all these things. And she said, but I'm extremely upset with you. So Arjunacharya said, why? She said that because you have mercilessly beaten those two beautiful boys. And then Arjunacharya asked for a description because he knew he did not have any disciples. So he said, how did these boys look? And from the description, Arjunacharya realized that, these were none other than Lord Krishna and Balaram who had personally come. And then he ran up to his Gita and whatever he had scratched had gone away because the Lord had proved that he does personally come to protect his devotees. And then Arjunacharya fell at the feet of his wife. He said, you are so fortunate that you had darshan of the Lord. I am so unfortunate that I doubted the words of the Lord. And today I have realized that the Gita is non-different from the Lord. Because whatever scratches I put on the Gita actually went on the Lord's back. And I have also realized that the Lord does keep up His promise. He has said in the Gita that I personally come and I preserve whatever my devotees have and I carry what they lack. And He actually personally came to provide for us because we did not have enough in our house. So Arjunacharya was so grateful to the Lord and he realized that yes, the Lord does not break his promise. He does personally protect. And for some other pure devotees, the Lord personally orchestrates their life. And if the Lord feels that the devotee is getting a little attached to his wealth or to his possessions or to his relatives or he is getting a bit proud of whatever possessions he has in his life, then the Lord actually takes those possessions away. And that is the form of protection which the Lord gives to those devotees. So we know in the 10th canto there is the famous verse, Yasyaham anugrihnani harishye tat dhanam shanay. And Prabhupada often quotes this verse, that whenever I feel very merciful to a devotee of mine, who is a pure surrendered devotee, I take away all his wealth. And then the relatives of such a devotee completely reject such a poverty-stricken man. and with no other support or with no other thing left in his life to look up to, the devotee just rushes to me and surrenders unto me. And this the Lord personally did in Bali Maharaj's life. So we know Bali Maharaj had become so much strong because he had worshipped his Guru nicely. And he had conquered all the three worlds. The entire universe was under the control of Bali Maharaj. And he was regularly worshipped by the residents of all the three lokas. He was continuously offered puja. He was continuously worshipped by everyone. And he had so much wealth. Obviously, if he has conquered all the three worlds, that means so much wealth was at his disposal. But Bali Maharaj, the Lord saw that his pure devotee Bali Maharaj had become a little proud of these possessions and of all the puja and pratishtha that he was getting from all the residents of the three lokas. So then the Lord decided that no, I should not allow this anartha to come in my devotee, and he wanted to protect his devotee's devotional life. So then the Lord personally came as Vamandev, and he took everything away from Bali Maharaj. He did not leave Bali Maharaj with anything at all. But during that pastime, then Bali Maharaj realized that, you know, I was thinking everything is mine, but actually all these possessions are just belonging to the Lord. And so in that pastime, when the Lord took away everything, then Bali Maharaj completely surrendered himself. And he told the Lord that now you put this third step on my head, my Lord. And that is how I will, I'm giving up everything that I have to you, including my own body, including myself. So the Lord took away everything, and when the devotee surrendered to the Lord, then the Lord gives himself completely to that devotee. And we see in Bali Maharaj's pastime, the Lord was so pleased with Bali Maharaj's surrender that the Lord decided to become Bali Maharaj's servant. He said, you will go to Patala Loka, but I will stand there and I will be your doorkeeper. I will be your guardian. And I will guard the door from which people enter into your palace. And it is mentioned also that I think there were 9 gates from which Bali Maharaj could come out from his palace. And being the king, like, you know, the Lord did not know from which palace he would come out. So the Lord was always in anxiety that whenever Bali Maharaj comes out, I have to be standing at that door, guarding that door. So he was always in anxiety, which door will Bali Maharaj come out from? This door. He used to run around between those 9 gates, thinking Bali Maharaj might come out from one of the gates. And Lakshmi could not tolerate that, the wife of Vishnu. So she personally went to Bali Maharaj and she requested him that my husband is in so much anxiety, he doesn't know which gate you will come out from, and he is always, you know, in tension where I should stand, where will, because he wants to serve you so much. He doesn't want anything, any lack in his service. So please you decide one gate and come out from that gate only, so my husband can peacefully stand at that gate only. This is what Lakshmi went and requested Bali Maharaj. So this is the extent to which the Lord protects his devotees, and then he gives himself completely. And in the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj mentions, because Prahlad Maharaj was a pure devotee and the Lord appeared as Narasimha Dev, he took that form just for the protection of his devotee. So in that canto, Prahlad Maharaj explains that what can a mother or father protect their child? How much protection can they give? What can a medicine protect a patient? What can an umbrella protect one from rain? So he is giving all these different examples. And he is saying, how much can someone protect others? The only protection that can be given is by the Lord. There is no other protective force in this world, or there is no other shelter in this world from whom we can seek protection. So why all these things are mentioned in the Bhagavatam or in the scriptures, that there is no other refuge for people other than taking shelter of the Lord and seeking His protection? All these things are mentioned so that people don't go here and there for protection, the devotee especially, because Poshanam is meant for the protection, the Lord protection, which the Lord gives to His devotees. So it is mentioned that these verses are there and these inspiring things are there in the Bhagavatam so that the devotees don't take shelter of other aspects in their life. They don't take shelter of their wealth. They don't take shelter of their relatives. They don't take shelter of their own intelligence. But they only take shelter of the Lord. And that is why it is mentioned. And this is one of the symptoms of surrender also. 6 symptoms of Sharanagati. Anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam. Rakshayisati vishwaso goptripte varanam tatha. So devotees have that assurance that the Lord is going to protect me. And these verses and these pastimes, like even the Lord protecting Parikshit Maharaj, all these are given so that the Lord, through these pastimes, is assuring all of us that I am there to protect you all. And the surrendered devotee has complete faith in that assurance. Like, you know, we also, conditioned people also read these pastimes and they know the Lord will protect. But somehow, you know, we are not able to take shelter of the Lord. But the surrendered devotees have that complete faith, complete conviction that the Lord is the only protector. And therefore, that is one of the six symptoms of Sharanagati, or one of the six items of Sharanagati. So we see Uttara invokes the protection of the Lord, and that is why Krishna is engaged right now in protecting Parikshit Maharaj by entering into the womb of Uttara. So she was an ideal mother, and she did what mothers are supposed to do, that, you know, please protect my child, let me burn, but my child, nothing, no harm should come to my child. So this is naturally there in mothers. Now there is a very nice pastime in the life of King Solomon. I'm sure most of you all must have heard, he was a very wise king. King Solomon, and many people used to go to him for advice because he was known for his wisdom and intelligence and for his just nature. So once two ladies came to King Solomon, and one of the ladies was carrying a child, and both the ladies started claiming, it was a young child, so both the ladies started claiming that I am the mother of this child. And there was a big debate among the two ladies, no, I am the mother, I am the mother. Each lady kept claiming that this is my child, this is my child. And King Solomon couldn't decide because both were arguing and both were adamant that this is my child only and I should take the child home and look after him. So what King Solomon did, because he was very intelligent, so he called one of his soldiers and he told the soldier that, okay, since there is this fight and we are not able to decide whom the child belongs to, so you take this child and cut him into two halves and give one half to one lady, one half to the other lady. So the soldier came to take the child. He said, okay, I'll do that. So one of the ladies said that, yes, and the king asked, is this okay? So one of the ladies said, yes, it's okay. You cut the child and give me half of the child. But the other lady said that, no, please don't cut this child. It's okay if that lady takes that child, this child away. But please don't kill this, because if you cut it, it's going to get killed. So please don't do that. It's okay, I don't want the child. Let this lady take the child away. At least he'll grow happily with her and she will look after him. But, you know, she fell at the feet of King Solomon, don't cut this child, don't cut this child. And then King Solomon immediately told the soldier that this is the real mother of the child. You give that mother the child, that lady the child, and the other lady should be punished and put into jail. Because only a mother will have this protective nature about the child. She will not care that, okay, if, you know, the child should be with me only. That is what this mother showed. Complete selflessness, that it's okay if I don't have the child, but at least the child should be alive. So King Solomon saw that this is the quality of a mother and he could decide which was the real mother. So it was very important in this case when Uttara came to seek protection from the Lord. It was very important that Parikshit Maharaj is protected. And why was it so important? Because Parikshit Maharaj, first of all, the Lord was very affectionate towards all the Pandavas and towards his surrendered devotees. He is very affectionate. But also a very important reason was that Parikshit Maharaj was going to be instrumental in the Bhagavatam being spoken. And the Lord is Trikala Gyani. So he knew that Parikshit Maharaj will now make the Bhagavatam. In future, because of him, Bhagavatam will be spoken. That is why his life has to be protected. Also, Parikshit Maharaj was going to be an ideal king when he comes out. He was going to be a totally surrendered devotee plus an ideal king. In fact, in the next few verses after this, it will be described that when all the zodiac signs arrange nicely, Parikshit Maharaj is born, and all the astrologers, the Brahmin astrologers, come and tell Yudhishthir Maharaj. They are glorifying the future of Parikshit Maharaj. They are saying that this child will be the righteous, will be a righteous king. He will be upholder of dharma. He will always protect religious activities in his kingdom. So they were glorifying Parikshit Maharaj's activities so much, what he will do when he grows big. So Lord Krishna wanted to protect this child because he was going to be the upholder of dharma. And we see that Parikshit Maharaj actually chastised Kali and he protected dharma. That pastime is there of dharma and cow in the form of cow and bull. They were standing inside a forest and Kali comes to cut the legs of dharma. So actually Parikshit Maharaj chastised Kali. He kept Kali at bay. He did not allow the influence of Kali Yuga to come, or he did not allow Kali Yuga to start. Actually, as soon as Krishna left, Kali Yuga has to start because Dwapar Yuga ends when Krishna leaves. But till Parikshit Maharaj was there, proper Kali Yuga could not start. He had kept Kali Yuga completely at bay and he protected dharma. He was such a big king that he could chastise Kali and he could protect dharma in his kingdom. So that is why it was so important that Parikshit Maharaj is protected like this in the womb. And we see that in the scriptures, we see Uttara. She came and she said, please protect my child. I'm seeing this glaring Brahmastra coming. Or we see Draupadi, when she was in distress, she seek protection of the Lord. She sought protection of the Lord. Or whenever the Pandavas were in distress, they also sought protection of the Lord. So when we read about all these prayers in the scriptures, the Nectar of Devotion describes that these prayers by the devotees of the Lord in trying to seek protection when they are in danger are not outside the purview of pure devotional service. So we should not look down that, oh, these devotees are asking for protection. No, this is not right. They are asking for a material thing. No, these devotees are asking for protection because there is this situation which is warranting that. So when we look at the lives of these devotees, it is not that they are always going to the Lord only in difficulties. They are not fair weather devotees. These surrendered devotees of the Lord who go to the Lord for protection, they are not fair weather devotees. Like, you know, fair weather friends who just come to you when they have need, or when you have some money, then they will come to you to enjoy your money. No, the devotees are not doing like that. They are not fair weather people that, okay Lord, now I'm in distress, so you please come and protect, but when I'm okay, I don't need you. Even when they are happy, the devotees are always taking shelter of the Lord. And we see that in the life of Yudhishthir Maharaj. He had been given that Indraprastha and he had made it so opulent. And then he was doing Rajasuya sacrifice. And what was the purpose of that Rajasuya sacrifice? It was only to glorify Lord Krishna's supreme position. So even though he was in such a nice situation in his life, Yudhishthir Maharaj at that time, still he was always surrendered to the Lord and he always remembered the Lord, even in his happiness or during his happy times. So the devotees, these surrendered devotees, know that the Lord has this quality of protecting, personally coming and protecting his devotees, and that is why they call upon this nature of the Lord. That Lord, you please come and protect me. So whether it's happiness or whether it's distress, these devotees are always surrendered to the Lord. They are always engaged in serving the Lord. So it is natural for them to seek protection of the Lord when they are in distress. It is not that they suddenly remembered, oh, now there is a distress and I have to seek protection. Because they are always Krishna conscious, their thoughts are always with Krishna. So when there is a calamity, then naturally they go to Krishna for protection. And we see that even in Vrindavan, where all the pure devotees are of the Lord are residing. We see the Vrajvasis. Now when the whole Indra pastime happened, they all rush to the Lord when, you know, showers of rain are being sent by Indra. And they rush to the Lord that please protect us, this, you know, these calamities are going to kill us and our cows and calves. They were so worried about their cows. So all the Vrajavasis go to Krishna for protection. Or we see in the Krishna book, whenever any demon is coming, or when there is forest fire, whom do the cowherd boys seek protection from? They completely are surrendered to Krishna and they know Krishna will protect them. So even pure devotees, even Vrajvasis go and seek protection of the Lord. So, you know, this quality of seeking protection of the Lord is not outside of the purview of pure devotional service. But the problem with us is that, you know, especially talking about me, that we don't seek protection of the Lord when calamities come in our life. And what happens is when there are difficult situations which come in our life, and there was one devotee who was expressing this also, that when a difficult situation comes in life, the Maha Mantra goes out of the window. I don't even remember Narasimha prayers. Nothing. I don't remember the Lord at all. Sometimes when a difficult situation comes in my life. So why does this happen? That when a calamity comes, I'm not able to take shelter. And I, you know, many times we observe this in our life. There is, you know, a sudden calamity which comes and we forget to take the name of Krishna during that calamity. Let's say, you know, there is an accident which is about to happen, or you had a big fall or something. Then, you know, sometimes the name of Krishna doesn't even come to the mouth. And Prabhupada answers this in many of his purports. Prabhupada says that because the consciousness is not absorbed in Krishna, and because the heart has not been practiced, it has not been given the practice of taking shelter of Krishna, that is why it is not running to Krishna when a calamity is coming. So then how can we as devotees even pray that Vipada Santu Tasasvat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru? Kunti Maharani is saying that let these calamities come again and again, because when these calamities are coming in my life, then I'm able to remember you more and more. But we can't pray that, because when calamities are coming also we are not remembering. Then what is the use of giving that prayer that, oh, give me calamities? Because the calamity is coming and Narasimha Dev's words are going out of the window. We are not even chanting those prayers. So whenever, you know, whether the devotees are happy or whether the devotees are in distress, especially, you know, conditioned devotees, like conditioned living entities, we are not able to take shelter of the Lord. And why this is happening is because of forgetfulness of Krishna. We forget to take shelter of the Lord. So it is mentioned this is a big curse in the material world, this forgetfulness of Krishna. In fact, I think in the second canto it is mentioned that when Brahma created this whole universe, this material universe, he gave the quality of forgetfulness. Because unless the quality of forgetfulness is there, a jiva cannot live, cannot survive in this material world. So because of this forgetfulness, whether there is a calamity or whether there is happiness, we are not able to remember. We are not able to take shelter of Krishna like Uttara took shelter in this situation. And she ran to Krishna for help. We are not able to rush to Krishna for help. In fact, our situation is so bad. You know, at that time they used to have calamities only sometimes in life because it was Dwapar Yuga going on and you know that Yuga was still good. But in Kali Yuga, the shloka which is there, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Na Tesham, that is practically applicable for Kali Yuga. Because we see so many terrorist attacks happening in Kali Yuga, so many shootings. We saw that famous shooting in Colorado. People had gone to see a new movie and that when crazy man came and shot everyone, there were so many people who died in that shooting in the cinema they had in which they had gone to see a movie. So every step there is danger in Kali Yuga. People are shooting, there are terrorist attacks going on. And if that is not enough, because the leaders in Kali Yuga are not looking after their citizens, like how we said a Raja is responsible for every Praja. So the Praja does not just include human beings. It also includes all species of life. And the saintly kings used to look after all species of life. But in Kali Yuga we see the leaders of society, they are not looking after all species of life. They are encouraging, in fact, opening of big slaughterhouses because there is so much revenue they are getting. And so much cattle, so many cows are being killed, so many chickens are being killed just because they want to satisfy the citizens who are craving for that taste. So they are not caring about these lower species of life who are also actually part of the kingdom. And we saw in Indonesia, you know, all those big news came, I think earlier in the year or last year, that the cattle are not being treated nicely, there is so much mistreatment, and we saw those videos, they were really gruesome. So for 10 days they stopped cattle exports in Australia, but after that, what happened? Everything has gone back to that. Oh, we will have some quality control measures in the Indonesian abattoirs. We don't know what's happening there, but again all the cattle export, everything has started because there was so much pressure on the government from these cattle industry, from these export people that all our revenues are suffering and ultimately the government was not getting revenue. So the king is actually responsible, leaders of society are responsible for all species, but we are seeing in Kali Yuga that's not happening. And because of that there are sinful reactions in the form of natural disasters. So we see one tsunami comes and thousands of people are killed. One earthquake comes and thousands of people are killed. So then people question, oh, why these things are happening? But because you did these mass killing of cattle and chickens and all. So we see in Kali Yuga, practically there is padam padam yad vipadam. There is danger at every step. So how much we need to rush to take shelter of the Lord? How much we need to seek protection of the Lord and not here and there of our wealth, of our possessions, of our relatives? In that Bali Maharaj pastime, Prabhupada mentions that we generally don't seek shelter of the Lord because we think we are in control of the situation. We think we are the controllers and we think we can sort out the situation either by our intelligence, if there is some calamity or some difficult situation which has come, or we think that, oh, my relatives are there. Mummy, daddy, we usually call out like that when there is any such situation comes. Or if other some financial this thing has come, then we think, oh, I have my bank balance. So, you know, we think we are in control of things and we think all these fallible soldiers are going to help me. So, it is said in the second canto, Deha kva patya kala pradesha atma saineshva asatva api. Asatva, these are non-permanent soldiers. Deha, my body, patya, wife, kala, pradeshva, all the other, my children, all and adishu, all the other things like wealth, possessions. A living entity generally tends to take shelter of these fallible soldiers. But they are also fallible. They are not going to be able to protect you. So we think we are the controllers, or we will take shelter of all these things to sort out situations, difficult situations in our life. And therefore we don't take enough protection of the Lord when in Kali Yuga we are actually faced with so many difficult situations. So whenever we read all these pastimes, like Parikshit Maharaj pastimes, or we read Draupadi's pastimes, These fast times are to inspire us that look at these devotees, how they are seeking protection from the Lord. And look at the Lord's quality, how He is immediately responding to His devotees' plea for protection. And how He is immediately coming. And in any situation, Prabhupada says, in any situation, the Lord is free. The Lord is free to do anything. The Lord is free to enter anywhere. He is Abhigya and Swarat. He is completely independent. So He can, you know, this is such a difficult situation that protect the child inside the womb. But the Lord personally entered into the womb and protected the child. So the child, Lord is not limited by any constraints which we have. That, oh, this situation is there and, you know, we can't give protection. No, the Lord is completely free. So then it is so important that we seek shelter of such a person who is completely free and who is Abhigya and Swarat, who can give us protection in any situation. And Bhurijan Prabhu was mentioning us in one of the retreats. He said that come, always observe your mind. Observe that where your mind is taking shelter when small difficulties come in life. And if you see that your mind is not turning to Krishna when there are little, you know, the day-to-day difficulties we face in our life. If our mind is not turning to Krishna during these small difficulties in life, how will our mind turn to Krishna when the greatest difficulty of death comes in our life? Because until we remember the name of Krishna at death, we will not be able to go back to Godhead. So during our lifetime, during these small difficulties, we have to cultivate this habit of taking shelter of Lord even in small situations. And then only we will be able to take shelter of the Lord when the most difficult situation of death comes in our life. So thus, whether you know we are in good situation or bad situation, we also have to take inspiration from these pastimes and learn to seek protection of the Lord. And then when we call upon this protective nature of the Lord or this protective feature of the Lord is very merciful. He is always there. He assures, I will protect you. So He is always there to protect us in any situation. It is only up to us that we seek protection of the Lord in these situations. So we'll end here and we'll ask if there are any comments or questions or corrections.
Thank you, Guru Nayaka. I have got one comment. When you were telling the story of Yamunacharya, I was thinking of the story where Naraji was questioned by Brahmana and the cobbler that I'm going to see Lord, and then he said, so that you can understand Krishna. Narayan was putting an elephant through the needle. So if you can believe that, then you will know that Krishna can do anything and anything. Because it's impossible for us to think of
putting an elephant through the needle of eye of the needle. Thank you, Prabhu.
That was my question is, you said we all want to go to the spiritual world. So what is the main thing which stops us is Nimatsara. So you want to tell us something about Nimatsara?
In the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, I think in the second or third verse of the first canto of first chapter, it is mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is only meant for Nirmatsaranam, Nirmatsaranam Satam.
1.1.1.
So, it is mentioned over there that the Bhagavatam is Nirmatsaranam word means people who are completely free from envy. So, the Bhagavatam is meant only for people who are completely free from envy. Then what about conditioned living entities like us who are not yet there? We are not completely free from envy yet. So does that mean that the Bhagavatam is not meant for all of us? And just a few days ago, coincidentally, I was hearing a lecture by my god brother Govind Prabhu, and he was mentioning that Nirmatsaranam for us, like, you know, this non-envious nature for us actually means to become selfless in life. He said because completely free from envy is a very, very high level. And it may take so much of, you know, sadhana and such a long time to maybe cultivate that completely non-envious nature. But he said for condition, he said it is applicable to us even at this stage that we become less and less selfish in our life. And that is how it translates for us. So the more and more we are self-centered, then we will just keep thinking about us, me, mine, I, me, mine. But more and more we become selfless in our life, then we can take shelter of Bhagavatam more and more. And that is how this Nirmatsaranam word translates for all conditioned devotees who are on the path of Sajna Bhakti.
Yes, you are the perfect, giving the perfect answer. Because we all want to go to the spiritual world. And I'm sure we all will do, like Mahaprabhu mercy. So we have to forget this envy between all of us. That will keep us in the material world. So the only way we have to be free of envy.
Any other questions or comments? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.